conditional use, number 2469, Rehoboth Family Storage LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant, excuse me, a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a mini storage facility with offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 6.68 acres more or less. The properties are lying on the west side of John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24, and the east side of Robinsonville Road, which is Sussex County Route 277, approximately 0.95 mile northeast of the intersection of John J. Williams Highway and Robinsonville Road. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel IDs are District 234, Map 6, parcels 104.00, 104.02, 104.03, and 104.04. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklets, which includes the applicant's environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, and a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of a rendering of the site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's submitted photographs. We also have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. And I would note that we have received 15 written comments, which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
And we thank you, and the chair recognizes Ms. Peake.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Wheatley, Commissioners, Council Robertson, Director Whitehouse, members of planning staff, and members of the public. For the record, again, my name is Mackenzie Pete, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing, and I'm here this afternoon on behalf of Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC, a family-owned and operated business seeking a conditional use of land for the operation of a self-storage facility with office at Robinsonville Road and Route 24 in Sussex County, being tax parcel numbers 104, 104.02, 104.03, and 104.04. With me this afternoon are the principals of Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC, William Bill Soltes, Catherine Soltes, Mary Claire Soltes, and Connor Bell. Together, they bring over 50 years of combined experience in commercial real estate to the table. Mr. Soltes has considerable experience in the self-storage business, having personally managed his self-storage facilities for the past 25 years. Through partnerships and joint ventures, Mr. Soltes has successfully developed and currently owns 6 self-storage facilities with more than 5,000 units. In addition to the principals, the project's professional engineer, Cliff Mumford, who you're familiar with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel is present, as well as Edward Lene, also familiar with him, senior professional wetland scientist with Environmental Resources Insights. Mr. Lene will speak on the site's environmental considerations, and Mr. Mumford will speak on the status of agency approvals and address comments regarding the project's proposed entrance location, which we know was of some interest to a few residents. As Director Whitehouse summarized, the applicant did submit an exhibit booklet that was submitted at least 10 days before this hearing in accordance with the Commission's rules of procedure. We've also prepared a packet of exhibits, all of which are already in the record, just to focus on during our presentation today that I'm going to hand out. With the exception of all of those exhibits are in the record except for a draft set of conditions that we're submitting as well. And then before discussing the application and the proposed use in detail, I'd like to ask Mr. Soltes to come up and just say a few words. He'll be brief. Thanks.
Hi, thank you for meeting with us this afternoon. My name is Bill Soltes. I'm the managing member of Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC. The other members of the LLC are my two daughters, Mary Claire and Catherine, and my son-in-law, Connor. We're a family business. I live in Rehoboth Beach half the year, and I've been in the self-storage business for 29 years. Our family has developed and owns 6 self-storage facilities. In 1979, when I was 24 years old, I became one of the first 100 Chick-fil-A franchisees in America. Truett Cathy, the founder, was a close friend of mine. There are 3,000 Chick-fil-A's now. I learned a lot from Mr. Cathy, particularly the importance of quality, customer service, and more important than anything, ethics and integrity in business. Chick-fil-A set the new standard for high quality fast food restaurants in America. And we've set the new standard for high-quality self-storage facilities. The colors that we use are tan and green, which blend in beautifully with the environment. We incorporate outstanding landscaping, high-tech security, and relaxing music inside the buildings. In this new property, we're keeping the vast majority of the trees around the perimeter of the property. We want to be a good neighbor and a positive asset to the community. We want you to be proud of the property that we build. Last year, I was in the audience at a public hearing in Milford, where the owner of a self-storage facility insisted upon 24-hour access for his customers. I don't do that. Not a single one of our properties is accessible after 10 p.m. When I got my driver's license at 16 years old, my mother said something to me that I bet your mother said to you at one time. Nothing good happens after midnight. Additionally, the rental office is closed on Sundays. Early in my career, I decided I never wanted my employees to have to choose between going to work or taking their family to church if they so desire. Thank you for considering our application this evening, and I humbly ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So moving on to a discussion of the application specifically and drawing your attention to the site plan that's on the screen and also the first document in the packet I just handed out. The applicant proposes, as you'll see, 3 one-story self-storage buildings consisting of a total of 891 units, each to include a mix of interior climate-controlled units and perimeter drive-up non-climate-controlled units. There will be no outdoor storage. The total building area will consist of approximately 125,000 square feet, with building one consisting of approximately 28,745 square feet, building two consisting of approximately 56,600 square feet, and building three consisting of 40,125 square feet. Moving on to the next, the rendering shown on the screen, you will see that each building, as I mentioned, features a one-story, low-profile design that seamlessly integrates into the surrounding landscape. This design not only minimizes the visual impact of the project on nearby land uses, but also enhances the overall aesthetics of the area. The use of tan and green tones, as Bill mentioned, was carefully selected to harmonize with the natural environment, further underscoring the building's integration into surrounding uses. The applicant's landscaping plan clearly prioritizes green space and includes, as you'll see on the screen, extensive buffering from adjacent properties in the form of perimeter trees, which will consist of as many trees as possible, while supplementing with additional plantings as needed. In terms of fire safety, each building will be sprinklered as required by the fire marshal. As part of this request, the applicant's also seeking 3 signs, one directly illuminated wall sign on the front of building one, which is noted on the plan and approximately here. There's also 2 indirectly illuminated monument signs, one located along Route 24, you'll see here in the landscaping bed, and another here along Robinsonville. In terms of the property, as mentioned, it consists of 4 parcels located between Robinsonville Road and Route 24. As the site plan shows, these 4 parcels are to be consolidated in connection with this development. The property is located within the AR1 district, as designated by the unshaded area of the county's zoning map, and similar uses, as you know, have been routinely approved in Sussex County within this zoning district. Nearby and adjacent properties, as you see, are also zoned the same. In terms of the future land use map, the property is located within the coastal area, a designated growth area per the county's comprehensive plan, designated in yellow on the future land use map that's shown on the screen. Nearby and adjacent properties are designated the same. as provided in the comprehensive plan. In addition to single-family homes, appropriately located commercial uses are also considered appropriate, especially to provide convenient services to Sussex County residents, including homeowners and business owners. The surrounding communities map displayed on the screen highlights the diverse mix of residential and commercial uses in the immediate vicinity of the site. The surrounding uses are color-coded, with commercial and non-residential uses marked in red and residential uses marked in blue. Notable commercial establishments in the area include an auto repair business, a construction company office and parking area, a model home sales office, outside boat storage facility, professional offices, landscaping services, along with community services such as the Lewis Fire Department, the Conley's United Methodist Church, Conley's Community Thrift Shop, and the Lighthouse Baptist Church. The proposed use certainly aligns with the character of the surrounding community, which consists of both a mix of residential and commercial uses. Furthermore, there is also a significant demand for self-storage solutions in Sussex County, and especially in the Rehoboth-Lewis area. Many newcomers, particularly retirees, have downsized to smaller homes with limited storage options, while others facing rising housing costs have opted for compact living spaces that require additional off-site storage needs. Additionally, local businesses often seek storage units for equipment, overflow inventory, and other needs, which is why we've seen some increased demand in flex space, for example, to include storage. Moreover, this use is proposed in an appropriate location in a developed and developing area of Sussex County and will deliver a much needed storage solution to Sussex County. Before turning the presentation over to Mr. Lene, I also did just want to point out that this particular site is within investment level 3, according to the state strategies for state policies and spending map, which, as you know, are areas considered to be those in the long-term growth plans of Delaware counties and municipalities. I'm going to put this back to this plan and turn it over to Mr. Lene to summarize environmental conditions. Thank you.
Edward Lene from Environmental Resource Insights. I'm a professional wetland scientist and environmental consultant. I was retained to review the site for various environmental considerations. It's a 6.68 acre site, which is wooded. The USDA maps well-drained sandy soils on the site in the Downer and Fort Mott series, and basically the soil borings that I conducted on the site verified that mapping. These soils are well-drained and with a generous depth to seasonal high water. The borings that I conducted on the site were done in March during the winter, and all the borings that I dug, and I dug dig to 4 feet, were dry at 4 feet. Those particular soil types are well suited to all types of developments with very few development limitations. The site is not within any DENREC mapped wellhead area, protection area, and it's not within any special groundwater recharge area. The site's also not within any 100-year floodplain. I reviewed this site, and again, it was well-drained upland-type soils on the site, and I reviewed the site for the presence of any state or federally regulated wetlands. There are none, and there are none adjacent to the site. Again, this site is wooded, and the site was clear-cut in 2010. There's a few scattered old-growth trees along Robertsonville Road, but other than that, it's relatively young forested area consisting of tulip poplar, loblolly pine, and occasional red maple. The project proposes to retain 1.62 acres of forest around the perimeter of the site. And again, that will be, that's a retention of 24.3% of the entire site area. I also reviewed the site for any rare, threatened, or endangered species. I observed none, and I also consulted with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and basically they have no records for any protected species under their program. I think that pretty much sums it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. So in terms of other site and use considerations, the proposed access for the facility is shown. It's off of Robinsonville Road here. We understand that three members of the public have noted some concern about the proposed entrance located there. However, the location of access was dictated and determined by DLDOT, which specifically prohibited access on Route 24. Mr. Mumford will address those concerns more specifically regarding the placement of the entrance on the curve, as site distances were carefully considered and assessed as part of DLDOT's review of the plan and as part of the planning process to ensure safe entry and exit to and from the site. Related to this issue, traffic generated by the facility is characterized as low, stable, and predictable. Due to their operational nature, I know many of you are aware, storage facilities typically produce minimal traffic. Most users only need to make one trip as needed to access their units, leading to a limited number of trips to and from the site. This pattern has also been observed in the applicant's analysis of its other sites, finding that the gate access logs, from other operations suggests an average of only 30 vehicle trips per day. It's also worth mentioning that this proposed location was strategically selected within a 3-mile radius of key demand areas for storage by drawing traffic away from Route 1, where the nearest storage facilities are located. The applicant anticipates a positive impact on the overall traffic patterns in the area of the county by locating the facility on this site. In terms of utilities, Tidewater will provide water. In terms of sewer, an on-site septic system will be installed, which will support an on-site bathroom to be located in the office on site. Notably, the applicant has received an approved site evaluation from DENRAC, a copy of which is included in the exhibit packet, and which Mr. Mumford will share some more about as well. Regarding security, the site will also be secured with a fence around the perimeter, as well as a gate. Security cameras will also be provided. In terms of hours of operation, unlike typical storage facilities in the area, this facility will not offer 24-hour access. Gate access will only be available from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. Additionally, office hours will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, so no Sunday office hours. These limited hours help to mitigate potential noise and enhance public safety, ensuring a more secure and safe environment in the community. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Mumford to speak on the status of agency reviews and approvals, as well as the entrance issue a bit more.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Good afternoon. My name is Cliff Mumford. I'm a professional engineer with the firm Davis, Bone & Friedel, located at 1 Park Avenue in Milford. I'm going to talk about some of the due diligence efforts that have been completed to ensure the site is appropriate for the intended use. To start, we met with several reviewing agencies, including DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, and the Fire Marshal's Office. Our correspondence with DLDOT began with a service level evaluation response received in March of 2023 that the site's traffic does not warrant a traffic impact study. However, because this site is located within the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District, known as a TID, the applicant is required to pay a fee of $406,000. And that's based on the building square footage and the use. This is a considerable amount of money since the site is only anticipated to generate 30 trips per day, but we understand that's not part of this body's, it's not set by this body, it's set by DLDOT and council. Next, a project coordination meeting with DLDOT was held on May 17, 2023. At that time, the entrance location was proposed to be on Route 24, but due to DLDOT policy that access be provided from the lower functional classification roadway, we were required to relocate the entrance to be off of Robinsonville Road. A follow-up meeting was held with DLDOT on June 22nd, 2023 to discuss the relocated entrance on Robinsonville Road. And as part of the DLDOT approval process, an applicant must demonstrate that site distance is provided in each direction. It's a function of the speed of the road that you take access onto. And you have to show a site distance line from where the driver will be leaving the entrance. And it has to have stay within the right of way to the point a certain distance along the road. In this case, the site lines stay within the right of way of Robinsonville Road. Otherwise, Del-Dot will require a site easement to be maintained if it crosses across any other properties. Moving on to our correspondence with Sussex Conservation District, we prepared a stormwater assessment study and met with SCD in June of 2023. Compliance with the stormwater regulations will be achieved by using an infiltration pond to control runoff. The on-site soils and depth to water table support the use of an infiltration pond, as Mr. Ed Linnae mentioned. In June of 2023, we also had a pre-application meeting with the fire marshal to review the site plan. Fire lanes are provided throughout the site. All buildings will have fire sprinklers, and a Knox box will be provided on the gate allow the fire department to have access into the site. A fire hydrant flow test was performed by Tidewater Utilities that confirmed there's sufficient sufficient flow for fire suppression. And there's an existing water main and a fire hydrant in front of the site on Robinsonville Road. Finally, as Mrs. Pete mentioned, Jay Duke, a coastal soil consultant, did perform a site evaluation on the site to confirm that the soil will support a septic system. And the site evaluation was approved by DENREC in April of this year. The site will generate less wastewater than a single family house. Thank you for your time, and I'll be available for any questions at the end of Ms. Pete's presentation.
Moving on, as this commission knows, the code provides that property owners in each district can undertake certain uses of their property by right, while certain uses are prohibited outright, and other uses are allowed upon receipt of conditional use approval from Sussex County. The code provides that the purpose of a conditional use is, quote, to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations, end quote. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. But because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan and possible impact not only on neighboring properties, but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. In this case, Rehoboth Family Storage LLC is requesting a conditional use of land for the operation of a self-storage facility with office in the AR1 district and coastal area. The proposed use, a semi-public use, is permitted as a conditional use in the AR1 district, and similar uses have been routinely approved in the same district. As Mr. Linnae explained, the site is well suited for the proposed development as it is an upland property with well-drained soils. There are no state or federally regulated wetlands or waters on or adjacent to the property. It's not impacted by a 100-year floodplain and is located in an area of fair groundwater recharge without being in a wellhead protection area. And there are no records of any threatened or endangered species or critical habitats on the property. The project, as I stated, will consist of three single-story buildings totaling 891 units, over 100,000 square feet of rentable space. The building design is aesthetically pleasing and appealing with a low-profile design that blends seamlessly into the surrounding landscape. The color scheme of tan and green is chosen to blend with the natural environment, unlike many storage facilities in Sussex County that often have bright colors. The property will be fenced and gated with security cameras placed strategically through the premise. As Mr. Mumford explained, the proposed development has received positive responses from DelDOT, Sussex Conservation District, and the Fire Marshal. Traffic generation is expected to be limited with gate access logs from other locations, suggesting, as I stated, an average of 30 vehicle trips per day. The hours of operation will be limited. On-site septic will be used, and the facility will be served by Tidewater. Before concluding, I just want to draw your attention to the proposed conditions that were submitted into the record. The first condition just describes the use itself, stating that this is for a self-storage facility that includes an office, clarifies further that there's no outside storage that's permitted, and also consistent with what will be a tenant lease, that no manufacturing, assembling, distribution, fabrication, or any similar activities would be permitted on site. Hours of operation is next. We've already discussed those. Condition C requires the security fence along the perimeter of the site in compliance with Sussex County requirements. Condition D provides that the storage area shall be secured by a gate with a Knox box or similar device to accommodate emergency access as needed. Condition E concerns and requires a security system that meets industry standards to be installed. Related to that, condition F for security lighting to be downward screened and directed away from neighboring properties and roadways. G requires a perimeter landscape buffer established at varying widths consisting of existing trees to the greatest extent possible as shown on the preliminary site plan. Condition A concerns the signage that was requested, one directly illuminated wall sign and two indirectly illuminated monument signs, which were shown on the plan and would be required to be shown on the final site plan and should comply with all specific Sussex County signage square footage requirements. All trash receptacles associated with the use to be screened from neighboring properties or roadways. There's intentionally no desire for a large dumpster so they avoid any dumping issues. And then finally, that the final site plan shall indicate all parking and drive aisle areas and then compliance with DLDOT and DENREC requirements, and that the final site plan should be subject to the review and approval of this commission. As a final point, I'd like to also mention that Mr. Soltes did contact the three people that submitted letters into the record, noting concern with the proposed entrance off of Robinsonville Road, which we've discussed was dictated by DLDOT. Mr. Soltes successfully communicated with Ms. Susan Anderhagen and Mr. Joe Schiavo through phone and email, and I'll submit a copy of the two emails just supporting that into the record now. In contrast to the letters filed in opposition, the application has garnered substantial support, receiving 11 letters in favor of the project. Among the supporters are the treasurer and a county official from Loudoun County, Virginia, who highlighted the family's successful development and operation of three high-quality self-storage facilities there. Additionally, Sussex Economic Development Action Committee, SEDAC, and other local residents have supported the project, emphasizing the significant need for storage in this area. In conclusion, based on the paper record, the presentation and testimony provided today, and the project's compliance with the AR1 district and coastal area requirements and consistency with the comprehensive plan, the applicant meets the purpose of the conditional use as outlined in the code and respectfully requests this commission's favorable recommendation of its conditional use. May I answer any questions?
Well, let's see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Collins.
Did you receive explicit direction from DLDOT that you could not build an entrance on 24?
Yes.
That is the only question that I actually have. So thank you.
Okay. Mr. Butler?
I do not have any questions at this point.
Spears?
Wow. That's all I have. That's...
Which is dictated by the TID agreement.
Yeah, that's dictated by the TID agreement based on commercial space.
I realize that. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point with respect to this project, considering the use. Yeah. The use is low traffic demand.
Because it didn't take into account necessarily traffic demand of the uses. It takes into account more, and I'm generalizing, the commercial square footage, and that's what this would be.
Because
it's not a rooftop. Like, you know, it's easier. It's just, you know, 1 feet per dwelling unit otherwise in residential, so you've got to figure out some way to do it for commercial.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mr. Whitehouse?
No, for me, thank you.
Staff, anything? Okay. Counselor?
It's not a question, just sort of an observation, and it has really nothing to do with your project. I'm sort of surprised that DLDOT's being so rigid on that application of the lower road classification being the one that has to have the entrance. I mean, you know, just
the applicant, right? Well, yeah, initially desired for Route 24.
Yeah, right. No, I know. It's just. I mean, I get that in certain instances, like, you know, the corridor capacity, you know, preservation on Route 1.
And especially with the low traffic demand again, it's
And particularly when there's a curve there and it's a long straightaway on Route 24, it's just surprising to me that. I mean, again, it has neither here nor there with your application. Just surprising to me that they've been so rigid in this instance on that.
Yes.
Did you all push back on that at all, or I mean, sort of,
Yes is the short answer. I can have Cliff.
I'm just curious how that went. Again, not so much with regard to the application, just more how that conversation went.
Yeah, we definitely did push back on them, and they stuck with their decision.
Really? So they just kept relying on that one requirement that they have, that you be on the lower road, period, end of discussion?
Yeah. Wow.
Especially when you compare those two road segments.
You have written correspondence that could be added to the record between yourselves and DelDOT.
Yes, we have meeting minutes.
But that might be helpful.
Yeah, just, I mean, just to...
Are they in the record, by any chance? Are they, they're not in the record at this point? We can hold the record open.
We have time, because I don't think this goes to council.
I think that would be wise, because this question's going to come up again.
And it's the heart of some of the opposition, just so we can answer the issue.
Bear in mind, this is a conditional use application. We're making a recommendation. County council will make a final decision, so I think it's important for that to be in our record.
Just for a question, would this...
If I can add, it is in the plus comments in DelDOT's, one of their...
I guess it is, yeah.
One of their considerations in there.
Just for a question, our DelDOT's plus review there, would this project qualify for TIF money?
I don't think it will.
I thought it was any road improvement.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, but it doesn't matter in terms of what we're doing here today, but it's an interesting question for sure.
It was just something for food for thought.
Yeah.
And don't be concerned about my question. Because we all have to hear by what DelDOT requires.
Yeah, we don't,
you know. But I think it'd be helpful for the public to know how that exchange went. And frankly, it's just interesting how that exchange went to me. Just puzzling. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we thank you, and we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2469, Rehoboth Family Storage, LLC? In favor. Yes, ma'am. Please come up, and you, sir, can be next.
My name is Mary Sheehan. I've been a property owner in Sussex County since 1988. We've all witnessed this tremendous growth in population. Many of us are retiring here, renting our homes for extra income. There's no place to put our stuff. There is such a tremendous shortage of mini storages. This property looks aesthetically pleasing. This is a win-win for our community. We must meet the needs of our community, and we know one thing, it's only going to continue to grow. Thank you.
We thank you. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate everyone's time, and I certainly have learned a lot today. My name is Brendan O'Toole. My address is 38470, number 3, Cottage Lane, Rehoboth Beach, 19971. I'm here today on behalf of my parents, Joan and Dennis, who unfortunately could not attend due to recent medical issues. I'd like to share a brief story to explain why our family strongly believes this facility is vital for our community. 2 years ago, during a summer storm, a tree fell on our family's townhome near Lake Comegys, causing severe structural and water damage. While the repairs were extensive, our biggest challenge was finding climate-controlled storage for our salvageable belongings. Our home is located in the forgotten mile between downtown Rehoboth and Dewey Beach. Ideally, we should have had access to storage facilities just 5 minutes away. However, with high demand, every nearby climate control facility was full, leaving us no choice but to rent a unit 90 minutes away. This wasn't just an inconvenience for my elderly parents, so posed significant challenges for the local businesses and contractors working to repair our home. The additional travel time for retrieving items and transporting materials added unnecessary delays and expenses to the overall renovation process. Our family fully supports this thoughtfully planned climate-controlled facility and urges you to approve it, as we believe it is an essential service for our community. I appreciate everyone's time, and I hope everyone has a safe and wonderful holidays. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor?
I'm Buddy Webb. I own the property adjacent to the gentleman that was here wanting the application. I think it should stay the way it's zoned now instead of giving it any other zoning.
You're not in favor?
Well, it's in, what, SR1 or?
We were asking for comments from folks who are in favor of the project.
No, I'm not in favor of the project.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? I think we just heard from the opposition. Well, he doesn't necessarily have to come back, but you don't have to come back. We understand that your comments were intended to be in opposition.
No, I've been there since back in the 50s, 55, and I've had a marine business. I've had dealer's license. I was there before the planning and zoning existed. I started a business selling cars, automobiles.
So if you could tell us what the basis of your objection is,
I want the property to stay as it is, zoned as it is.
Okay.
For the good of the neighborhood.
Okay.
Other than that.
Okay.
Okay. Whatever the county decides on is fine, but.
Okay.
I'd appreciate if you really looked into it.
Okay.
We thank you, appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. We'll do it. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us.